Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege. And let me always remember what a wonderful privilege it is to worship you as a member of one of your churches, in one of your churches, as we assemble together to worship you. Lord, I thank you for the prayers of this church. I thank you for the privilege of being a member of this church. And Lord, you know that I don't have a single thing that I can offer anyone. And if I'm seen, if I'm heard, it'll be of no good to any soul. Lord, we want to hear from you. Just as those heathens came to the apostles and said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Lord, we want to see Jesus. Speak to us through your word. I ask, Lord, that you would save the lost among us. Most of all, Lord, for your glory and for their good, and because we, Lord, desire to see it. And Father, we'll give you the glory for it. And Lord, I ask that you teach all of us. Let us hear your word. Let us submit to your word. And let us obey your word. I ask that you bless our sister churches. I ask that you bless my family in Germany, Lord. And I ask that you would just direct us. We would know what your will is, and we would just do your will. I ask it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Now, you all know that I believe in sovereign grace just a little bit. In fact, I believe in all 10 points. I believe in all 5 of them twice. And you know that, and I have in the past let us say the Lord has in the past through me, I pray, preach these things. But lest I be found a one-sided preacher, we need to understand the responsibility of man. Now, I know that there is a need for the preaching of sovereign grace messages, because in many, many, many pulpits, God is a little bitty man who's trying, he's doing his best, but he's getting old. And you need to help him. And that's just a lie. That's a lie from hell. By the way, all lies come from hell. And that's a lie from hell. Because there's nothing God can't do. And there's nothing God tries to do. God's never tried to do anything ever, ever, ever. He does his holy will only because it pleases him. Only for his glory. Everything else is just a lie from hell. But I want you to know something. That doesn't change the fact that man's responsible. Unconditional election is not unconditional salvation. There's no doctrine in the Bible, unconditional salvation. It's unconditional election. That means God had no conditions placed upon him when he chose. He chose out of his own will according to his good pleasure.
No conditions. Not because I'm good, you're good, not because we'd be good servants, not because he said, you know, that fella can play the piano pretty well. I think we'll save him so he can, or not because this fellow over here can talk pretty good, or nothing like that. That's just ridiculous. I mean, read Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, and you'll find out God does what he does, and you read the whole Bible, because it pleases him. He chose according to his good pleasure. But God placed conditions upon man. A command is a condition. A command is a condition. And I want you to understand something today. Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and go to him, you will not have eternal life. You will burn in eternal hell. And that's just a fact. But I don't want you to think that this is an Arminian verse. Is there nothing to do in salvation? Certainly there is something to do. I guess Paul must have just been a little bit, you know, confused. I mean, he'd been down in the dungeon a long time, and he'd been in the stocks, and, you know, been in the second prison. That meant that he was in the prison below the prison. And you know, it was late. It was after midnight. And he just got shook up real good from an earthquake. So I guess when the jailer asked him, "Sir, what shall I do to be saved?" And he said, "Well, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He was just a little shook up. Oh, no. There's to be done. So God does it all, yes. Well, then there's nothing for me to do? Oh, I didn't say that. If you don't repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll burn eternal hell. If you don't flee to Jesus Christ from your sins and call upon his name and confess him, you will not have eternal life. God has made man responsible. And I've argued, Brother Cockerell, speaking of him, and we need to pray for him. He's a good man. First time he heard me preach, he came up to me, and the first time I'd ever met him, came up to me and said, "Brother," and you know how serious he can be if you know him, or he comes off very serious. He said, "Brother, I know people that would call you hard shell." And I said, "Well, there's a lot of," I thought to myself, "well, that's, you know, there's a lot of Arminians that think I'm hard shell. They think I'm hard shell because I believe God's sovereign. They think I'm hard shell because I believe the Bible." He said, "And I know a lot of fellas that think you're an Arminian." Well, I mean, I was saved in a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist Church, and I'd never known anything else. And I had never been called an Arminian before. I mean, you know, that was something new for me. That was the first time, but that was not the last time. He was not calling me an Arminian, but he just said he knew people that would call me that, and I came to find out that's true. And you know what? I don't care. Because I'm just going to preach what God said. I'm just going to preach what the Word of God said, and I don't have a problem with that. I do not have a problem with the fact that God is sovereign and man is responsible because God said it. There's a bumper sticker running around. Don't get mad at me if you've got this bumper sticker on your car. But you might think about this. Bumper sticker said, "God said it. I believe it. That settles it." Take that middle part right out. Because it doesn't make any difference what you think, what you believe. God said it. That settles it. As they say in Germany, basta. That's it. Nothing more to say. End of the discussion. God didn't ask you what you think. Now, I often say that in relation to Arminianism. And you've heard me say that. But I'm going to say it in relation to those that, though they say they're missionary Baptists, though they say they're evangelistic, they act like they're a bunch of hard shells. I know Arminians that act like hard shells. It gives them fits, them Arminians. I'm the only one of them that goes out and preaches on the streets. What's the matter with that? He's can't do that. Doesn't he know? Doesn't he understand? He's one of them stinking Calvinists. They like to put stinking in there, you know, underline that a little bit. He can't. What's the matter with him? And they, you know, they have the Bob Jones, Bojangles singing group and you know. Well, anyway. They have them come in and they, you know, they put up posters everywhere. We're going to have this singing group come in. And they figure that's evangelism. That's not evangelism. Putting up posters, you're having a singing group come in. It's not evangelism. You know what I've even found? There's people that know they're lost that are hard shell. Yeah, they know they're lost. And they're just a bunch of hard shell. We'll get to that. I want you to understand something, though. This verse, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. That is not an Arminian verse. That's the most condemning verse in the Word of God. Yeah. That whosoever will business, that's a bad deal. That's not the good news. Not yet. It'll become the good news, but you'll never get the good news till you get the bad news first. Whosoever will is a bad deal. Romans 3. Let's read why. Anybody that wants Jesus Christ, anybody that the true Jesus, I'm talking about if they know who they want. I'm talking about anybody who really desires the true Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, may have him. Mm-hmm. Anyone who desires the true Son of the living God. Now, there's a lot of false Jesuses running around, and there's a lot of people like to have them because they're kind of like a fire escape. You know, I'm gonna get away from hell. I'm gonna live the way I want. I don't want any Lord. Don't be talking about that business. But I just don't want to go to hell in case there is one. Well, that's not the real Jesus. But anyone who desires the Lord Jesus Christ may have him. The bad deal is Romans 3. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all, They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher with their tongues. They have used deceit. And the poison of asps is in their lips. It's a good thing to desire Jesus Christ. And anybody that seeks after God, truly seeks after the true living God, may have him. The bad part is this. There is none. No one. That's what that word none means in relation to human beings. No one that seeketh after God. Now this is a bad situation. Anyone that seeks after God may have him. Anyone that will may come to Christ and be saved and will be saved. Whosoever will. Problem is, nobody will. So everybody's going to hell. Now, it's a situation the lost person finds himself. But God. No hope except for Christ. None. Anyone that desires God may have him, but there is no one that seeketh after God. And that condemns every soul to hell. Whosoever will is not a good deal, because no one will. People come and tell me, you believe in,
in total depravity. You just think a fella can't do it. And I said, you know, all that's true, but we need to get past the smoke screen you're putting up. I want you to know the real problem is no one will. Don't come and tell me, what about all these people that want to go to heaven and they really want Jesus Christ, but they can't. They don't want him if they can't. They don't. No one seeketh after God. They're all gone astray. Wicked and vile and filthy things. And a disgusting smell in the nostrils of a holy God. That's what all human beings are. And they will not come. Look at John 6, 44. This is a bad deal. Anyone that goes, the bride, the Lord's church, is to say, come. And whosoever heareth, those that are saved, but they're disobedient Christians, they're not serving God as a member of one of his churches, but they've heard, that is, that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Even they're supposed to say, let him come. They're supposed to tell people about Jesus. The problem is, no man can come. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, that's bad. Anybody that wants to go to Christ may go, but no man can come to me, Jesus Christ said, except the Spirit of God draw him. Why? Why is it that they cannot go? Well, Ephesians 2 tells us because they're dead. Graveyard dead. They can't go. They're graveyard dead. They're going to they're going to go to hell. They're on their way to hell. They are under the condemnation of God. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened, speaking to Christians who are no longer dead, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's why. How then can a soul be saved? I don't understand now. You've said that anybody that wants to be saved, anybody that truly wants Jesus Christ, may have him. Well, the Bible says it. But you've just said they can't. The Bible says it. Well, this is bad. Yeah, this is bad. And this is the condition the lost person finds themselves in. So how may I be saved then? Well, turn with me to Mark 7. Well, before we do that, let's go to Mark 1. Let's go to Mark 1. We'll just establish this real easily and quickly and try to, for sake of time. I think you understand if it says that once in the Bible, it meant it. God meant what he said. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is Jesus. Let's start with 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, of course, that was a recommendation. No, God commanded it. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And if you do, you'll have eternal life. But you just said, I can't. Yeah, and the Bible does too.
He said, I'm spiritually dead, and I can't do anything. How can a spiritually dead man do something spiritual? Well, I hope you're catching on now. That's a bad deal. Graveyard dead. I'm talking about a lost man can do just as much spiritually as everybody in Olmsted Cemetery can do. I go over to Olmsted Cemetery and I start preaching to them and tell them to do something, and I've got just as good a chance of getting something out of them as I have getting something out of a spiritually dead man. But you know what? In John 10, Jesus Christ, verse 26, he said, but ye believe not. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. Now here we're getting at the crux of the matter. Here's the big problem. The sheep, the elect. Now there's lost sheep and there's saved sheep. Aren't there? I mean, that's obvious. We know there's a lot of times when Jesus Christ talked about lost sheep. But he said, you don't believe and you're not going to believe because you're not of my sheep. They're not of God's elect. I thought you were going to teach about man's responsibility. Well, we're getting there. I just wanted to show you just how bad it is. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He suffered. He lived a perfect, holy life in our steads, for us. He fulfilled the law of God for us. And he died on the cross. He suffered and he died. And I say for us, I mean for God's elect, for the sheep. And he died on the cross and paid for all of the sins of the sheep. All of them. And he rose again. And we read in Romans and also in Ephesians that we rose with him. We received life because he rose again. And he did all that for the sheep. Well, then the lost man has to ask himself this one big question. And it's a fair question. How do I know if I'm a sheep? I mean, what you don't understand is everything right down to limited atonement is evangelistic. That's an evangelistic doctrine. There was a man, this is a long time ago, and when they were having some pretty amazing revivals in the area of Scotland, there was a man that was sitting in front of a coal fire. And he had just been to one of these meetings where there had been many people saved, where people just cried out when they saw themselves as sinners, cried out in agony, seeing themselves condemned to hell. And he was moved by it. And he was scared to death. And he sat in front of a coal fire. And he said to himself, if only I could know that I was a sheep. I would flee to Christ if only I could know. And that's what I'm talking about when I say there are lost people that are absolutely hard shell. Because they'll sit around and they'll say, well, if the Lord's going to save me, he's going to save me anyway. Wrong. 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 Not in the Bible. If God's going to save you, he's going to save you one way. One way. You are going to repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon his name, flee to him, and confess his name. Confess him as Lord and God. And that's the only way. That is the only way. He's not going to save you anyway. He's going to save you one way. His way. And this man started to think about a verse. And I want you to turn to this verse because it's very important. John 6. John 6:37. And this verse, because you see, we put things in the wrong order. We don't listen to the word of God. We don't listen to what God's saying. And that's what this man was doing. And he was scared to death. Because you know what? He believed he was a sinner. He believed that what that preacher said was true. That he was a sinner deserving eternal hell. And he hated his sins because they separated him from God. He hated his sins because they condemned him to hell. And he believed what the preacher said. He believed everything he said about the gospel. And he said, if only I could know. John 6:37. He read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he said, if I could only know that God the Father had given me to God the Son, well, then I would flee to Christ. Then I would call upon his name. If I could just know that, if I could just know that God the Father gave me to the Son, that I was one of God's sheep, I'd flee to him. And he pondered it, and he pondered it, and he read verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he started to despair. And then he read verse 37 again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then he looked at this last part. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And again he saw. He understood. He said, if I know I'm a sinner, if I repent of my sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, it's because God has given me to the Son. I must only flee to him. If I can flee to him, if I desire Jesus Christ, if I will, I may drink the water of life freely. How can you know that you're God's elect? Do you know you're a sinner deserving hell? Do you repent? Do you hate that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins? Then why do you tarry? Why do you sit in disobedience? God didn't recommend it. He commanded it. Flee to Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Now, there are those that don't believe they're sinners. They don't hate their sin, and they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. And for them, we can only pray that they will. But I have good news for you, sinner. If you know you're a sinner and you believe Jesus paid for your sins, then obey. Then flee to Jesus Christ. He will save you. Look at what he says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's no one that goes to Jesus Christ for salvation. There's no one that goes to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. There is no one that goes to Jesus Christ for eternal life that will be cast out. That's just not in the Bible. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, what does that mean? And briefly, I'm going to close with what that means, what the Bible says it means. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Sister Bauman, the first soul that was saved in Dresden, at least that I know of, during our mission work there, we sat in her kitchen, my wife and I, and she said, I don't understand. I believe that I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve hell, and I don't want hell. I hate, but more than that, I hate my sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for sin. It was as if she were saying to me, what lacketh I yet? And I said, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins? She said, oh, I do. I do. And I told her, then flee to him. Then go to him in your heart, and I tell you this. If you have not yet been saved, but you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you know you're a sinner and you repent, you hate it, and you would have Jesus Christ, then what are you doing sitting around on your brains? Get up in your heart. Don't come up to here, because it won't save you if you run up to me. Come at the invitation, if you have been saved, to confess him. Tell the world he saved you. But when I say flee to him, I mean in your heart. Flee to him. He will save you. Ask, flee to Christ, repentant and believing, and seek of him forgiveness and eternal life. And you'll have it. And confess his name. Confess him as your Lord. That's what he commands you to do. Look here at Matthew 11, what he says. 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is there a soul, or are there souls here that are heavy, heavily laden? He says, come to me if you know that you're a sinner deserving hell. You know that your sins separate you from God and you hate them. Come to me if you believe that I died on the cross to pay for your sins. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll do it. He does not lie. This is not Arminian preaching. This is not Arminian doctrine. Because if you can, if you believe these things, it's not enough to believe that he's God, because the devil believes that. It's not enough to believe that he died on the cross to pay for sins in general, because the devil knows he died on the cross to pay for sins. If you believe you're a sinner deserving hell, and you know that your sins separate you from God, and you hate them, and you would be rid of them, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I will not turn you out, he said. I will in no wise cast you out. Take my yoke upon you. Confess him as your Lord and your Savior. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Romans 10. Is it wrong to preach this in the presence of lost people, not knowing if they're elect or not? No, it's not. I command those to come to Christ, and every one of them that truly seeks Jesus Christ in his heart only does so because God has brought him to life. You see, they're dead. If they live spiritually and know their sinners and repent of their sin and believe that Jesus paid for their sins, it's only because God has brought them to life. And he only brings his elect to life. So if this is so, then you're one of God's elect. Why do you tarry? Flee to him. And he doesn't suggest it. He commands it. And he doesn't say, take your time. When you get ready, when you feel like it, if you truly have been brought to life and believe these things, then flee to him and do so now. For he commands it. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what saith it? Thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Now he's speaking exactly to this kind of a person. Someone who has already been brought to life. Because they do know they're sinners. They do repent of their sins. And they do believe that Jesus paid for their sins. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And if it's in your mouth and if it's in your heart, God put it there and he commands you to flee to him and to confess him. If it's in your mouth and if it's in your heart, it's settled. You're God's elect because he only puts it in the hearts and mouths of his sheep. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Nothing to do? Oh, there's to be done. You cannot do it without Christ. You cannot do it unless the Spirit of God draws you. You cannot do it. You will not be able to do it. You will not want to do it if God has not brought you to life. But if you want it, you can do it because God wouldn't have put the want to, because he changes you. You see, in Psalms 110, he says, he makes us willing. He makes us willing. When he gets good and ready, he makes us willing. And if you will, then come and take the water of life freely. We read on in John 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, this sounds awful Armenian. For the heart we believe unto righteousness, with the mouth we confess unto salvation. It's not Armenian. God commands it. You can't do it unless God brings you to life. But if you can do it, don't you sit there and disobey God, because it'll go bad with you. You'll do it. You will do it. But if you don't do it now, every day of your life is just going to get worse and worse. You'll do it. I guarantee you, you'll do it. You might do it out of the belly of the whale, though, and you won't like it. For there is no difference. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Romans 10, 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You mean even if they're not God's elect? I don't guess you got it. God's elect are the only ones that want to and the only ones that will call upon the name of the Lord. And if you can call upon the name of the Lord, do so. And you'll have salvation in your life. Because he's brought you to life. Else you couldn't do it. Else you wouldn't want it. Yeah, that's biblical doctrine. No man can come to me. But if you can, what are you supposed to do? Go. Go. Don't tarry. Don't sit around and wait for God to say, well, God hasn't given me a personal invitation. He's given you. Not an invitation, a command. Do so. Finally, 2 Corinthians 6. And confess him. Don't try to be a secret agent Christian. Mess up your life. You will wish you'd never tried. And it won't happen long. And the longer it happens, the worse it'll be inside. Confess him. Obey him. 2 Corinthians 6. I guess there are some who just like me to leave these verses alone because it messes up their theology, but I'm telling you, it's here. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. He's brought you to this point. Behold, now. Not when you get good and ready, and not when you think God. Is ready now. Now, that's a commandment. Now is the accepted time. That's acceptable to God. Behold, now. Now is the day of salvation. And if you believe, if you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you desire, if you will, whosoever will, and that will means you've been brought from death unto life already. Whosoever will. Do you desire Christ? Then flee to him. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you forgiveness of sins, eternal life. Confess his name. And that's just as true as limited atonement, particular redemption, whatever you want to call it, just as true as total depravity. Whosoever will, let him come. But now is the day.